Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free Posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
And at that point, I didn't have a name. I didn't have the name Maybelline Mousse. I knew exactly what I would want to do and how I wanted my business to look and the kind of clients I was going after, but I didn't have anything else. I just had Sue's business model and this very firm idea in my head as to what it was going to look like.
Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. Hey guys, now is your chance to check out all of the incredible photography education we have available for you at theportraitsystem.com. For only $7, you will get access to over 1,000 videos, including pricing, posing, marketing, lighting, sales, inspiring photo shoots, self-value, and more. Yes, you'll get your first month for only $7 when you become a pro member, and you'll get access to the full download library with posing guides and workbooks and so much more. Also, this includes a pricing calculator, a studio startup timeline, our weekly live broadcasts, including Sue Bryce's live talks, access to our private, members-only Facebook groups, special discounts on photography products, and so much more. Head over to theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7 to get your first month for only $7. That's theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7. My guest this week on the Portrait System Podcast is Ali Stewart Ross. Ali is a newborn photographer based in Scotland, and it was so great to talk about how she uses the business model people often use for other style of portraits, but it also works so well for newborn photography. Ali switched genres to newborns only in 2020, and she has grown her business like crazy since then. Even though she has really niched down to a very specific type of newborn photo shoot. Ali tells us all about how she prices her shoots, how she markets, including doing a contest on Facebook to bring in new clients. Okay, let's get started with the amazing Ali Stewart Ross. Hi, Ali. Welcome to the Portrait System. How are you?
I'm very well, Nikki. Hi. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Just coming off of Christmas and holidays, and yeah, it's been a fun time.
It's been interesting, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's been good. Yeah. Okay, so we have so much to talk about. And, you know, before we start, why don't you tell people the name of your business and where you're located?
Okay, my business is called Mabel and Mousse, and I'm located in Dundee in the east coast of Scotland, and that's in the UK.
Okay, awesome. Scotland, that's right. Now, just for people listening, Ali and I got to meet in person, a month or two ago?
Yeah, middle of November. Yeah.
Time is just like blending together. Yeah, so Ali got to attend Sue Bryce's new self-value workshop that's coming out. So I got to be there with you and meet you in person. So that was really cool.
It was great. Great to meet so many people that I had seen or heard of or listened to you on your podcast and finally got to meet them in person. And obviously you and Sue were two really important people that I wanted to meet.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very cool. Anyway, so that was nice. Now, okay, Scotland. And tell people a little bit about your town. Like, is it a large city? Is it a small town? Just so people have an idea.
Well, Dundee is probably, I think, the fourth largest city in Scotland, but it's not big by any manner of means. And I'm in a very small suburb of it. So I'm not very good on figures, but we've got two small primary schools. We don't have a hospital. You know, it's not that kind of size. It's really quite small. So I'm not pulling from a huge area. Mm-hmm. Although I do get people coming from all over Scotland to see me. But obviously traveling with a new baby, which is who my clients are the babies, is difficult. So people need to be really quite dedicated to make that journey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so you brought up babies. Now, you are a newborn photographer. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is I like to have just different genres on that aren't just like glamour or beauty or whatever, to show people that this business model can be implemented. And again, when I say this business model, I'm just saying like a general kind of recipe that people can choose certain things to use or not use and kind of make it their own. So when I say this business model, I want people to understand that it's not like this rigid thing you have to follow. Like it can be kind of, you know, massaged into what you want it to be. But the basics of it, you've implemented with your newborn photography business. So I wanted people to hear about it.
Yeah, I've just pretty much taken what Sue has said for years and implemented it. And obviously, I don't photograph women. Well, I do, I suppose, very, very tiny, small ones. I've only just been born. But I've always thought I didn't see there was any reason why this business model couldn't work for multiple types of genres. So, I mean, I've listened to Sue for years and years while I've been editing, and something just drew me to her and to her ethos and her way of photographing people and her business model. And at the time, I didn't really have a cause to use it because I was a wedding photographer and I was an industrial and commercial photographer. But I just listened, just drew me towards it. And I probably always knew that one day I would need all her advice. And a couple of years ago, that happened.
So you photographed a couple different genres before you landed on the newborn genre.
Yes, I've only been photographing newborns full-time since 2020, slap bang in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh my gosh,
I decided
to
basically shut up shop for my other two businesses and open a completely new business. It wasn't really rebranded. It was started from the ground up.
Wow. Yeah, because it's not like commercial work transfers over to babies. Yeah. Wow.
No, it was a complete new business, and it was always part of my 5-year plan from years ago that this was what I was going to do. But the pandemic just brought everything forward by, I would say, about 4 years. So I had started to kind of teach myself to photograph babies, and I wanted to be able to do it really, really well before I opened up. And then the pandemic hit, and obviously I had no weddings. I still had a few commercial clients, but I just decided that weddings were never going to come back in the shape or form for a number of years that I would be comfortable photographing them. And I decided just to bring everything forward and start Mabel and Moose. And at that point, I didn't have a name. I didn't have the name Mabel and Moose. I knew exactly what I would want to do and how I wanted my business to look and the kind of clients I was going after, but I didn't have anything else. I just had Sue's business model and this very firm idea in my head as to what it was going to look like.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to jump ahead a little bit. Can you kind of give people an idea of how many clients you have maybe per month and what your average sale is? And then we can kind of go back and dig into how you grew so quickly.
Yeah, I did some figures before I came on because I knew you were going to ask me these questions. And I do have them in my head sort of loosely, but not as firmly as you probably want them. So I've had between 90 and 100 clients each year that I photographed.
Wow.
And my average has been £970.
That's fantastic.
Now, I haven't had, it's not terribly consistent. So some months I might have 3 clients, other months I might have 15. And sometimes there's reasons for that. Like I've decided to take a month's holiday. I went away for a full month this year. And at this time of the year, for instance, I've taken off between Christmas and New Year. And then we had some lockdowns in the UK at the beginning. So there was times when I couldn't work. But yeah, I'm really happy with that consistent average and that number of clients.
Yeah, that's really great. Now, okay, so let's back up then. You decided during the pandemic you were going to start a newborn business. What kind of, and I know you said it's something that you wanted to do, and, you know, I guess silver lining of the pandemic, if something good had to come out of it, it forced you forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, how did you even begin this?
The year before, maybe for about 18 months, I had really researched how you photograph newborns, because it's a real separate skill from an awful lot of other photographic genres. Mm-hmm. And although I'd been a wedding photographer and I can photograph anything in the commercial world, I can photograph building sites or products or architectural work, I hadn't really photographed newborns. I had run a portrait studio for a couple of years alongside these other two genres, so I did have experience of handling families and clients, but I needed to know how to photograph a newborn properly. So I had spent about 18 months just, when I had time, watching videos, doing training, got myself a standby baby. And I had done a few babies that I had, given gift vouchers to, and people had come in and I had done that. So I had a little bit of a portfolio, but I didn't really have anything more than that. So the first part of the whole process was really to create the brand, to create Maybelline Mousse, to create a new website, to get the logo, to write the copy, to do all the things behind the scenes. And I kind of did that, a blind leap of faith without having too much of a portfolio. And at that time, I couldn't photograph anybody because we were all on a strict lockdown. So I was just going forward into the unknown with this just belief that this was going mm-hmm. to work.
One of the things real quick that you mentioned is that you went through some trainings, and I hope people understand that when you are photographing babies and handling babies, you have to know how to do it appropriately appropriately isn't the right word, but safely, so that babies aren't injured. I mean, sometimes you see things that you're like, whoa, that does not look safe. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that's really important.
Yeah, I think the type of photography that I do, that I love, that I feel comfortable doing, and the kind that I would want to put on my walls if it was my baby, is all very natural. There's no weird poses. I've never put a baby in a bucket. There is absolutely nothing that's unsafe with what I do. It's really just a baby wrapped loosely in a little shawl or a blanket and beautifully lit, and it's all very simple and natural.
I love your baby work. Like baby work.
Thank
you. Your newborn. It's so beautiful. It's very like, for people who haven't seen your work yet or whatever, if you're driving, don't stop and look at Instagram or her website. But if you aren't driving, I would definitely check it out, Maybelline Mousse, because it is so simple, but it's really beautiful. Like almost the simplicity of it makes it more beautiful. It's really great.
Oh, thank you, Nikki. I love doing it. I love creating it. And it does look simple, but there's an awful lot that goes on to making it look like that. And there's nowhere to hide. There's absolutely nowhere to hide any mistakes or anything that you've done wrong. It's got to be right. And it's funny, although it looks so simple, if something isn't right, it stands out a mile that just the angle's wrong or the lighting's wrong or something's not quite right. So it's taken a while to get it to be like that.
Yeah, I believe it. I hear a lot of people saying that, like, I'm still trying to figure out my style. And I feel like it just comes with practice and time. And sometimes people get it sooner than others, but eventually, you find what you love. And it sounds like you really did. So it's great.
I do. I love everything about this business. I just adore it.
Okay, so you did all this training, and then what?
How did I start?
Yeah. Like, at what point do you, decide you're going to start charging and all that good stuff?
From the word go, I charged. There was never a point when I did anything for nothing. I had a few people that, friends of my child, my daughters are of the age where their friends are all having babies. So I had access to two or three people that were having babies, and I gave them a gift voucher and they came in and for a portfolio shoot. And obviously they came back in and then they purchased the ones that they liked afterwards, but it did give me a little bit of a portfolio. But I had really done that before the pandemic. So when the pandemic started and I decided to start Maybelline Mousse, I had to work with the images that I had, because there was no way I could shoot anything else. There was nobody allowed to come to the studio. So I did spend an awful lot of time, weeks and weeks, working on getting my editing right, because editing is an absolutely huge part of the finished look to my work. And I just sat there at my computer for hours on end. I didn't watch any Netflix. I didn't do anything like that. I just worked on getting the editing right, and I had to work with the images that I already had. And that taught me a lot about how to change them when I got new babies in, but it also you know, really nailed down my editing system. So I've got my own action sets and things now. I don't use anybody else's. I made them from the ground up. And yeah, I couldn't do without them.
Yeah.
And it gives that consistency as well. So, you know, sometimes people will come along to the studio and they'll come when the baby's just born, and then they'll maybe come back when they're 9 months or a year old. Or I'm having people now with second babies, and I want it to be really consistent, that the images can all hang on their wall together from different sessions and at different times in the baby's life and look totally consistent.
That's great, yeah. That's one of the really great things about babies is they grow quickly, and yeah, parents want to document that. So yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about marketing. You said you do a Facebook competition. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that and then tell us a little bit about the rest of your marketing.
Yeah, I do regular. Well, I mean, when I say regular, I probably do two or three a year. This year I have not had to do as many, but the first year I think I did three Facebook competitions. And anybody that enters, they've got the chance of winning. The first prize is quite a big print, just mounted. It's not framed. Second prize, there's usually two or three second prize winners that win a 10 by 7 mounted, and then a good few that win a 6 by 4. And they come in, they get their session, and then obviously they have to come back for the reveal session. And there is no pressure to order anymore, but of course they do. They absolutely love the photographs, and they usually end up ordering. If they order 5, that's usually not a very good sale. Sometimes that's all people can genuinely afford, and they're delighted with that. But most people will order 10 or 20, or my big ultimate package, which comes with 2 frames and a bulk set of prints and all the digital files. And there's no real way of telling beforehand what they're going to do. Sometimes I'll get people in that I kind of prejudge, although I try not to, and I think no, they're not going to order more than 5, and they do, they order the ultimate package.
Yeah.
So that, and Instagram is really how I'm marketing.
Okay.
And then people that find my website generically, just through Google.
For the competition, the Facebook competition, how do you structure that? Like, are you just making a post, like submit to win, or how does that work?
Yeah, I just, there's a post with a nice big smiley baby, and it's usually something like, you know, Mother's Day competition or smiley baby competition. It's very plain, it's very simple. There's not a lot of instructions. It's just comment on the post with your due date or your baby's date. And that's about it. But what I do is I message every single one of them, which I know I've had a lot of pushback from photographers that say, you can't do that, it will take forever. But I really take 3 days out of my life, and I just sit at the computer and I message every single person individually. Reasonably personally, I do have some templates, but pretty much they're all written from scratch. And they tell me about their baby and ask them various other questions. And it just builds up a really nice rapport with them. So when they come into the studio, if they have won something, you know, they feel like they know me, and I feel like I know them, and they really trust me. And I think, I don't know about you, but I enter Facebook competitions and you click on something and you've entered and you've got no idea what you've entered. You've got no desire 2 seconds later to go and have that product. But I've got quite a lot of people that will actually, if they don't win, they'll end up booking me anyway, because they really, you know, I guide them to my website and I guide them to my Instagram page. And there's a whole process that I've evolved to get them to do this. And so far it's worked.
Yeah. Now, the people that you take the time to individually email each person, do you find that you get a couple bookings from that?
Yeah, if they don't win, they'll quite often maybe 4 months or 5 months or instantly book me. But I'm really, there's enough people coming through that have won a 6x4 print that I'm able to run the studio and obviously do the number of babies and at the averages that I've been getting.
Okay, cool. Now, let's talk about the age groups that you photograph, because I know you said you do newborn, but you also, you know, do when they're a little bit older. Are they toddlers? Like, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm quite specific. I do newborns too, and I've said 18 months on the website, but in actual fact, it's really just over their first birthday. I get very, very few that don't come in, that would come in after their first birthday. So sometimes a first birthday baby maybe doesn't come in until they're 13 or 14 months. They've maybe been booked in and they've been ill or something like that. But once they get to 18 months, even if they've been a past client, then I need to refer them on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm very, very niche.
Yeah, yeah. And even with like your colors. So it looks like almost, I believe every single baby is wearing some sort of either white or off-white cream.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Here and there, yeah. It looks like there might be a pattern, but pretty rarely. Is this something like, do people ever push back on that and say they want color, or how does that work?
They do sometimes, very rarely, to be honest. And I usually talk them out of, I mean, I do talk them out of it because it's not something I do. I've got the way I work, and that's just how I do it. And if it's not something that is for them, or they maybe haven't really realized, oh gosh, there's no color, although I don't see how they would manage to not realize that. And I'm obviously not the photographer for them. So, I mean, and the parents need to wear white, the siblings need to wear white. It's very, that's what I do to get that look. And it's funny because when I always wear like black yoga pants and a white t-shirt. And when people come back to view their photographs, because it's quite a small studio, you know, and obviously they don't dress accordingly to come back. So, you know, they might come in a bright red sweatshirt or something, and it just mm-hmm. looks so out of place. I'm thinking, can I ask people to dress in white just to come to the reveal session? Because it's too hard to cope with a color. I can't do it.
Oh, that's funny. I love white. All my walls in my house are white. Like, yeah, I love white.
Yeah, it just focuses. For me, it focuses on the baby. That's all you're going to look at is the baby, and it's, you know, there's nothing else to distract. So mm-hmm. everybody, they take their watches off and do everything. I've got really quite a number of, I wouldn't say instructions, it's just things that they have to do to get that look. And if they, there's a few people don't do it to the letter, but they, you know, obviously once they get to the studio, I'm usually there to, well, I am always there, obviously, to guide them into why they need to do certain things.
Do you encourage the parents to be in the photos, or is it most, you know, mostly just the focus is on the baby?
Oh gosh, yes. No, they've got to be in them. And I do get quite a few parents who come in and they'll say, oh, it's not me, just the baby, not me, just the baby. But I do, I mean, I don't kind of drag them screaming, kicking over to the beanbag. But I do say to them, well, you know, sometimes I might just need your hand to settle a baby. And that's true. I mean, I genuinely might need their hand and just to settle a baby. And I'll explain to them that that photograph is the one that that baby's going to cherish, you know. When the baby's in their 80s and they've got their dads holding their little hand when they were a baby, it's going to be so much more meaningful and treasured than just the baby lying on the beanbag. Because I think when I'm photographing them, and now the pictures of just the baby are what the parents want now, but they're not just buying them for themselves, they're buying them for that little child when they grow up. And they're going to want the ones exactly. with their parents mm-hmm. in them. And I think once you explain it to them like that, and I'm very good with people. You know, I never force anybody to do anything, but, you know, somehow I just have this way of encouraging them, and they do come into them. And there's nothing to say that they have to purchase them or buy them or hang them on their wall once they're done. If they don't like them, they don't need to take them. But if I don't photograph them, they, you know, that's that moment lost forever. And I would say it's really interesting because sometimes I'll get people that will come back for a reveal, and I'll look at their gallery that they've got, and they've maybe got 15 images, and their parents that have said, we don't want any of us, we just want the baby. And I'll look at their gallery selection, and there's only two with just the baby. The rest are all them. and they didn't want them at all. And they're usually really grateful and sort of, thank you for making us be in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. I think when you've had two children, you know, you probably don't feel that you want to be photographed.
No.
You know.
No.
4 days after you've just had a baby and your milk's just coming in and you've had a section and everything's just so new to you and you're sore, it's probably not the most ideal time.
Yeah. Yeah.
To say, let's get a gorgeous photograph of you.
I actually had just for Van, I had new, you know, formal newborn portraits done, and I was not expecting to be in them. Julia Kelleher did mine, and she's so wonderful. Oh my gosh, she was so great. And she made us be in them.
And I bet you're super grateful that she did.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Even with my maternity photos with Dre, my second, I just wasn't feeling, I mean, I had really easy pregnancies with both kids. It's not that I, you know, There was really nothing to complain about. I just didn't feel like I wanted to have maternity photos for whatever reason. And I was visiting Sue. I think I was like 8 months pregnant or something. And it hadn't even crossed my mind that I was going to do maternity photos. I just wasn't in a frame of mind to do that. We were there to do something else, you know, or I was there to do something else with her. And she was like, well, let's do your maternity photos while you're here. I was like, no, I'm good. You know, I have the ones from Van. It's fine. And she was like, yeah, right. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, pick something out. And I was like, okay. And if you're listening and you're like, oh my God, how do you? Okay. I don't mean to sound like ungrateful or whatever. First of all, I don't ever expect Sue to just go ahead and photograph me whenever I need her to. You know what I mean? That's just not, I don't ever expect that of her. So it wasn't like, you know, anyway. She's just an amazing friend like that, and she will always like step up and just take your photos when it's important, even if you don't want to do it. Anyway, she did it, and of course, I stared at it afterwards, and I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, that is the most beautiful I've ever felt, aside from when I did Vans with her. And God, I'm so grateful she made me do that. I mean, truly, it was really incredible. Anyway.
Oh, that's a lovely story. Yeah. I mean, if Sue offers to take your picture, you don't say no.
I know. You don't say no. And I really don't mean to sound like ungrateful or whatever, but when you're 8 months pregnant and you feel like a whale and you're just like,
yeah,
ugh, you know, like my sciatic was, it was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, do I have to do this? And it was amazing. Like, she like commanded me. She like, as soon as I sat down in this like stool that she had me on, I was just like, you can do whatever you want with, like, she just like, she's so confident in what she does, and she's so great at directing. And having these experiences with other photographers photographing me was super important. So if you're out there and you're a photographer and you've never had your own portrait taken, I cannot recommend it enough. Because when you feel the person in front of you who's photographing you is confident and telling you what to do and you trust them, it is magical. So you have to feel it and make sure you are being that photographer to your clients, being in control, like respectfully, and just, you know what I mean? Like, just having that confidence, it makes all the difference. Yeah. So I'll get off my soapbox now, but.
Totally agree with you. It's just, they've got to have confidence that you know what you're doing, and you're not, you know, looking at the back of the camera and going, oh well, move your arm, or mm-hmm. know, just you've just got to direct them, take charge, keep going, and make them feel really special.
Also,
I think there's nothing worse, and I've heard this a few times from other people that have had newborn photographs done that they weren't pleased with. They've maybe loved the images, but they don't like them because they remember that it was a really difficult time in the studio. And it wasn't mm-hmm. enjoyable. So when they look at them, that's what they remember. So when people come to me, I just want them to have an absolutely really nice, relaxed time. Just be as relaxed as possible. I had one dad during the summertime who actually fell asleep while waiting on the big squashy sofa. The mum and I were working with the baby, and we turned around and said, "Dad, it's your turn." And he was just out for the count. So
That's funny.
We left him. You don't get more relaxed than that.
But it is. It is so important. And like, I have a workshop, an in-person workshop coming up in here in Michigan. And part of it is I'm photographing the participants because I want them to experience it. It is such an important piece of just being a photographer and feeling it. And yeah, so.
Oh, that sounds amazing, Nikki.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. But if you are putting a dad to sleep, like, you're doing great.
It was very, very warm.
Cool.
I work in very high temperatures.
Yeah. You have to for the babies, right?
Yeah, and the dads are sleep deprived. And they're a bit shell-shocked as well. So yeah, he fell asleep.
Yeah, very cool. Well, it sounds like you have a really great business going. I mean, especially like, do you find, if you were to compare this to what you were doing prior to photographing newborns, you know, do you like it a lot better? Are you more profitable? Like, how would you compare it?
Oh, it's poles apart. I mean, I'm massively more profitable. It doesn't compare. I don't leave my house. I work from home. I have my weekends back. So I work from 10 in the morning. That's my first shoot. And I mean, I work quite a lot at nights and things like editing and things. So my hours haven't really cut, but when I work is better. So I don't often work a Friday. I take weekends off. I only work 42 weeks a year, so I could take a full month off in the summer.
Good for you.
It's massively better. There are things I miss about weddings. I loved going to weddings. It was nice going to a party, and I was a documentary photographer, so I really kind of miss that real challenge of getting that moment when everything just comes together and waiting for that special one picture that you really want. I miss that. And I kind of miss all the different things I got to experience when I was a commercial photographer. So I've done all sorts of exciting, interesting things that I wouldn't normally have got to do. But I've done my time at that, and I just love this. And I love babies. I love chatting to the mums and dads. I love buying new baby clothes. It's great. And I actually quite enjoy editing. So I do 90% of my editing on my own. I do have an editor that does a tweak for me. But I quite like just sitting with my headphones on, listening to a podcast, editing.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all of this. This is really great. And again, I wanted people to hear just the perspective of someone who not only does newborn, but like you really niched it down to like white white clothing, white walls, you know, so in Scotland, in a not so big town with a $1,200 average, like a certain age group, like only up to 18 months. I mean, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I think I've taken all the guesswork out of it for clients, though. I mean, they know I'm upfront about my costs.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. They know what they're going to get. They know what it's going to cost. And if that's what they want, they come to me. And if that isn't what they want, they'll go somewhere else. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think they trust me to do it because, you know, their friends have all had it done and they've all had these lovely pictures. And yeah, it's fine. And I am quite good with babies, I have to say. I had four of my own, so none of which were great at sleeping. I don't quite know how I've managed to do it with my little clients.
My oldest was terrible at sleeping, so I feel you. But you have four. You have four babies, four children.
My second didn't sleep at all, so I think she put me through my training for this. So I had my baby Sophie to train me to get babies to sleep, and then I had Sue Bryce to train me to run a business. So
there you go.
It's worked.
That's all you need, huh?
Very cool. That's all you need.
Well, I still have a couple more questions that I always ask at the end of each episode. And the first one is, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
Oh, I can't live without. Well, I knew you were going to ask this, and there's a few things I can't live without. But when I really thought about it, because I think I could produce photographs with most situations that were beautiful. But I think to work effectively and properly and to give the clients a good experience, I've got a flow posing guide that I have, you know, just built up over the past couple of years myself, and I can work through that. And I do work through it. And sometimes clients see it and sometimes they don't. So obviously you just need to be in control of the moment, and there's no point in trying to get a baby to sleep if the baby's awake. I need to then go to the awake part of my posing guide, or if they're asleep, I need to go to the asleep part and work through it. And then there's a checklist at the end to make sure that I've covered all the, not poses because they're not poses, but the photographs that I wanted to get out of that session. And I've got different ones for different ages of baby, you know, brand newborn, a little bit older, sitting up with a sibling, or a first birthday session. So that's really what I couldn't live without.
Yeah, great. Awesome. All right. Number two is, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
I forgot you were going to ask that one. just with family and friends, really. That's basically what I like to do. I don't, you know, I don't get a massive amount of free time, and I've got four children. So by the time they're all up and away, and one of them has her own children, so by the time I see all of them, that's four different visits and friends and things like that. And I like to walk. I like to go out. We live right near the beach, so I like to go out and walk on the beach.
Beautiful.
And, yeah, I like to travel. And yeah, I'm a bit of a workaholic, so you know, my idea of heaven is curling up with a glass of wine and sticking on a podcast that would be usually something to do with work. So
nice. Awesome. When you love what you do.
Yeah, you happens. Don't work. I feel like I don't work.
Although I was like that, and then I ended up getting burned out and I had to make some big changes and boundaries and all the things, but you know,
yeah,
there's a balance. There's a balance.
There's always a balance.
Yeah, totally. Number three is, what is your favorite inspirational quote?
it's not really a quote. I'm not really a quote person.
I'm not
I've got a sort of mantra, I suppose. And I think that's treat other people as though you would want to be treated like that yourself. And I also think treat yourself as though you, you know, how you would want to be treated. Because I think I've been quite guilty of treating other people really, really well and forgetting to treat myself quite well. So I think that's it. Just always be fair, be kind, be nice, give your clients the very best experience that they can have, and just try and put yourself in their shoes a little bit. Like, how would you feel if this was you on the other side of the, you know, the fence, and how would you want to be treated? So that's probably it.
Extremely important. I love that. Love that very much. Yeah. All right. Number four is, what would you tell people who are just starting out?
Gosh, can I be honest? Because I look at a lot of people saying things on the portrait system, and I think I just want to say to some of them, just get on with it. Just do it. You've messed around for quite a long time, and you're never going to be ready ever. So you just need to make a start and go for it. And if you mess it up, well, that'll be a lesson learned. You won't do that the next time.
Isn't that the truth?
I think that's probably the best advice I can give.
I love it.
And also to niche down. I think I wish I'd niched down years ago, and not necessarily to this niche. I could, you know, I've got a huge list of niches that people could do, or niches, I think you call it. You know, I think if I was going to be a wedding photographer again, I'd be a wedding photographer that only photographed weddings where there was a dog involved or something like that, just so as you can get this little corner of your empire and be the best you can, or, you know, the best person to do that job.
Yeah,
I think that's what I would tell people.
I love that. That's great advice.
Yeah, someone should do that. Go and be a dog photographer at weddings.
Yeah, no kidding. You mentioned that you were starting to do coaching and that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've got a few things that are going to come up next year. So the first thing is I'm planning a couple of in-person workshops, which will be at my studio in Scotland. So they will take place at some point. I haven't quite firmed it up yet. At some point throughout 2023. And I've also got various other things that I want to make available to people, like my flow posing guide, I think is absolutely invaluable. It just takes all the guesswork out of everything. And my action sets, I'm quite happy to share them with people. And I'd really love to have a very small kind of mentoring group, maybe just 10 people that I take from being maybe not even photographers through to being profitable newborn photographers in quite a short space of time, because I definitely think I've worked this formula that it works. If you know, there's so many facets to it, and if you don't put them all together properly, it's just not going to work. But if you do put them all together and you just, you know, go from step to step, it will work, and you would have a very, very good business. So that is in the pipeline too. So it's really like four different things that I'm doing.
Awesome. Very cool. And where can people find you if they're looking for you online?
Yeah, well, most things are under Mabel and Moose. So my website is www.mabelandmoose. And that's, I don't know if you want me to spell it. So it's the girl's name, M-A-B-E-L-A-N-D. And Moose is M-O-O-S-E. And it's .co.uk. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram is Mabel and Moose Newborn. And I think on Twitter, I'm just Mabel and Moose.
Awesome.
So if you don't find me under Mabel and Moose, you'll find me under Mabel and Moose Newborn.
Very cool.
And that was, I think, Mabel and Moose was taken for Instagram. So a huge part of building my brand was finding the name, which took forever.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It had to be right. Nobody else had to have the website, the Instagram. It couldn't mean anything weird in another language. So I think the only thing was there was a Mabel and Moose. I think there's, I don't know, two rabbits from South America or something are called Mabel and Moose, and they had the Instagram handle. So I've got Mabel and Moose Newborn for that.
Cool. Very cool. Well, all right. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything. This was great.
Oh, thank you for asking me, Nikki. It was a real treat. I've listened to your podcast so many times, and it's just such an honor to be on it, to be honest. Yeah.
It's been fantastic. Thank you again. Oh. And hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yes, you too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.